Good evening. If you would open your Bibles back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. The title of my message this evening is three words: need, plead, intercede. The first two of those words are very obvious what they mean. Most of us use them. The third word, intercede, is something we need to define to make sure we're all on the same page. The definition of the word intercede is to attempt to reconcile differences between two people or between two parties. That means to try to fix things, to make two people be on the same page about something they disagree about. Now, there are two different types of intercessions or interceding. The first is to say something. I might have a little bit of a reputation with some of the mothers of getting kids riled up. So after church today, if I snuck up behind one of the little boys and scared him or tickled him, and they screamed, I surprised them, their mom would immediately look at them and say, "Come here right now." Well, I could say, "I'm so sorry, it's my fault. I got him, I startled him. He wasn't doing anything, it was my fault." That's my attempt to keep them from getting into trouble. Now, it might work, it might not. The second type of interceding is to do something. So the first one is saying something, the second is doing something. So in that same scenario, the little boy screamed and the mother reached over to grab him by the arm, and instead I grabbed him and picked him up and held him like this. And just kind of looked at him and tried to protect him. Now, that might keep them from getting in trouble. It might not. At some point they have to leave and go home. I have to put them down. Now, this definition is an accurate definition. But like so many words in the Scriptures, we have to be careful with our definitions, with the man-made definitions, because words in the Scripture don't always apply with man-made definitions. The word intercession is used three times in this passage of Scripture. And this word is something that God, the Father, the Son, or the Spirit, is doing. So we need to change the definition of intercede. The first two words of that definition are to attempt. We just have to take that out. God doesn't attempt anything. So the actual definition of intercede, as it's used here, is to reconcile differences between two people. In this passage and in this chapter, it says on the top of my headings, it says, "They that are in Christ, free from condemnation, and the ground and assurances of the Christian's hope." The title, Need, Plead, and Intercede, is talking about salvation and the experience of a child of God in salvation. So, when we're trying to intercede here, the definition of to reconcile differences between two people, this is what God does between a child of God and himself. So, we need to realize there's not two things in the world that are further apart that need to be interceded more so than a sinful man and a holy God. So that's what we're talking about when we say intercede. Somehow, a sinful man and a holy God have to be reconciled with each other. Okay, so look here in this chapter at verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities." This is the Holy Spirit we're talking about, helping with our infirmities. Now, the "our" here is what we see in this whole chapter. Up top it says, "they that are in Christ," or a Christian's hope. This is a child of God we're talking about. "The Spirit helpeth our infirmities." I've always thought that that meant he helps us when we're sick. He helps us through our problems. But I see here infirmity is actually just our weaknesses, our shortcomings. It helps us in everything. And then it says, "For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. Praying is a very difficult thing to do. Public prayer is very hard. Private prayer is very hard. It says here, the Spirit makes intercession for us. Not only does our Lord God and the Holy Spirit pray for us, we see that many times, but it also shows us here that the Spirit makes intercession for His children. It says, with groanings which cannot be uttered. What the Holy Spirit does for His children, okay, for a child of God, is He puts inside the child of God groanings, a feeling, an understanding of who we are. That is the base for our prayer. We have to know what we need. We have to understand that before we can pray or before we can plead. If we don't understand that, our prayers don't really mean anything. So here, Him making intercession, it shows us what we need. It gives us a boldness, an understanding that we must approach our Lord. It gives us faith in His blood and righteousness. It gives us a reason to pray. We see who He is and realize that He's the one who can help us. All right, look at verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. This is telling us who the Spirit maketh intercession for. It's for the saints according to God. Now read with me here, and this goes into further detail of who and what he's done in interceding for us. In verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The intercession of the Lord is for those that he predestinated, those he conformed, those he called, those he justified, those he glorified. Now the process that I'm saying tonight, need, plead, and intercede, that's the experience we have, and I'll go through that here in a second. The way it actually works is that God, before time began, interceded for his children. And he's currently interceding, and he will intercede for them. Go on down to verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He maketh intercession because he died, because he was risen again, and he is now at the right hand of God. One of the writers wrote, his intercession is done by the appearance of his person for us, by the Lord Jesus Christ's presentation of his sacrifice, by the offering up of prayers and praises for his people, by him declaring it as his will, our prayers and praises as his will, that such blessings be bestowed upon us, and by seeing to it that the benefits of the death of Christ are applied to those for whom they were designed. His intercession always continues. It is ever present, it has a full influence, and it will secure his children from condemnation. All right, turn with me to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. In preparation for this message, I had a conversation with my six-year-old daughter last night. And I asked her a question or two, and I was trying to see how good of a job I was going to do explaining the word need and the word plead and intercede and see what she understood. And she's very smart, and I thought if she can understand this conversation, it's going to go really well. So she understood what the word need meant. and I decided I'm going to explain what the word plead meant to her. So we're sitting at the dining room table, and I said, Finley, what would you do if you walked out the door and you got locked out? You're locked out of the house. What would you do? And looked at her. And without batting an eye, she looked right at me, and she goes, well, I could get a drill and drill back into it. And I thought, okay. And then I said, well, I thought I was just going to lead her right into this, calling for daddy, get some help. And so then she said, and I was like, well, and she goes, well, I could get a rock and break a window. And this went on for a few more things. And I'm sitting there like, well, I sure didn't do a very good job of this. And I thought to myself, I got to go back to the drawing board. I thought if my own daughter, who knows I love her, and knows if she ever got in trouble and she hollered my name, Lord willing, I'd do anything in the world for her. I'd come right and get her. But that's not what she thought. I was very frustrated by this until this morning, and we heard two messages. And we heard someone say, where it reads in the scripture, that men will say, Lord, Lord, and he'll say, I never knew you. And then we heard whom we preach and how works don't have anything to do with salvation. And it hit me sitting there that what she answered me is a perfect example of what the people of this world answer when it comes to salvation. There's an obvious answer when we're in trouble. There's an obvious way for salvation. This book tells us very plainly and clearly. The problem is that when I asked her those questions, I didn't put her in a position that she thought she needed help. And sinners today think they're not in a position where they need help. They think when we say salvation, either they're not in the list of sinners, they don't need anybody to help them, or they think that they're a sinner, but not really that bad of a sinner. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give a lot of money and that's going to be fine. Or I'm going to go help a lot of people and that'll make up for it. Or I'm going to stop doing this or that and everything's going to work itself out. What the Spirit does when it intercedes for us in Romans 8, the Spirit opens our mind that we have a need. And until we have that need, we don't ever ask for help. We think too highly of ourselves to plead to someone else except when we really think we're in trouble. So, I'm going to go through a couple examples here of individuals that the Lord, in a few verses, they found out their need, they came to Him, they pleaded, and He interceded. All right, the first one is Mark 10. Look at verse 46. And remember that the issues that each of these people have, they're earthly issues for the most part. But they're examples of things that we need. And all of these people, when we talk about the Lord interceding for them, it's not just on their issue. The Lord has interceded for these people before time began. So look at the first one, verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Blind Bartimaeus knew he was blind. The Lord put him in a position. He knew what he needed. He's blind. That's what we are. We're all blind. And until the Lord shows us, we don't realize we're blind. Blind Bartimaeus had the benefit, and I mean that literally, the benefit of already realizing he was blind. So many people go through this life thinking they see things perfectly when they're actually blind. So he knew he was blind, and what did he do? He was begging. He needed help. He couldn't do anything himself. And he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. There was a lot of commotion. He heard that's who it was. So he began to cry out. He started screaming, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And look at verse 48. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. When it comes to pleading to the Lord Jesus Christ, don't ever let anyone tell you to keep your mouth shut. Blind Bartimaeus knew he needed help. What if those people said be quiet and he said, okay, I don't want to disturb anybody. No, his need was so great, and the person that he was pleading to was so great, he had to get the answer. So hear what it says in verse 49, "And Jesus stood still. The Lord heard him, listened to him, and he commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus." I love the thought of this man casting off everything he has and coming to Jesus. I used to think someone led him there, but I don't think they did. I think he stood up and the Lord just drew him right to where he was. He couldn't see anything yet. He just knew where the Lord was because the Lord showed him. "And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight." This is the first example of what we should plead to our Lord. Lord, that I might receive my sight. We ask for spiritual sight. We feel like we see fine, but we need to see the things of the Scripture. We can't understand things. We don't get it. We need the Spirit of the Lord to open our eyes. And verse 52, "And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." As we'll see throughout all of these examples, the Lord always answers his children's prayer. That song we just sang, God leadeth me, God be with me, it says whatever you ask, he'll provide. All right, next one. Look at Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Look at verse 24. "And from thence he arose, the Lord, and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid." This does not mean that the Lord didn't want anyone to know where he was and he just couldn't hide from everybody. What this means was the Lord didn't tell anyone where he was, but he still drew his children to him. Look who it is. "For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet." The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. So this woman comes on behalf of her daughter. Here's another important part of pleading to the Lord. Blind Bartimaeus was pleading on his own behalf. This woman had some knowledge of who the Lord was. She searched him out. She found where he was. He was not advertising where he was. He went into someone's house and she was searching for him. But she wasn't there on her own behalf. We should take this woman's lead. We should plead to the Lord for our daughter, for our children, for our loved ones, for everyone. See what the Lord says to her in verse 27. "But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs." The people told blind Bartimaeus to be quiet. Stop it. The Lord tells this woman, let the children be filled. It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. He called her a dog. She answered and said unto him, yes, Lord. She agreed. She's okay being a dog. She's not there for herself. She doesn't care what she's called. She's there for her daughter. And then she says, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. This woman could have taken this as a rebuke from the Lord. He just said who she was, but he could have taken this as he was saying no to her. We need to realize when we ask things of the Lord, when we plead to him, we might not get the answer we want or the signs we want. It's very important we don't interpret the events of this world as our Lord's answer, yes, no, or lack thereof. if this woman would have taken him literally and thought, he's calling me a dog, he's not going to help me, then she would not have gotten the answer. He said unto her, in verse 29, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. This woman's daughter, as far as I know, was not pleading to be saved. She was not pleading to be healed. This is a wonderful sign for us. This is wonderful news that this woman approached the Lord on behalf of her daughter, and the Lord saved her daughter. It's great news that we can see in the Scripture about the Lord telling us that if we ask for things, He'll grant them. But it's even better to realize that the Lord will answer our prayers for others. Now, our prayers are not what saves someone. This woman's prayer was not what saved her daughter. The Lord saved her daughter. The Lord is the one who did all this. But it should make us to realize we should plead on behalf of so many others. All right, go to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Can we please take this example and not exhaust the things of this world to solve our problems? It doesn't matter how things are going at home. It doesn't matter how things are going at work. It doesn't matter how big our bank accounts are, how healthy our family is. None of that matters. If we chase the things of this world, or chase the things of this world to help us with spiritual things, we will always come up empty. Or as it says about her, but she rather grew worse. Verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. I use the word plead, and I never thought until I read this story that you could plead without actually saying anything. We see the first one is blind Bartimaeus, who goes out screaming. That's how he's pleading. Then we see the Syrophoenician woman who comes up quietly and just asks the Lord for help. Now we have a woman who sneaks up, unassuming, doesn't want to be seen, doesn't want to be heard, just trying to get a blessing. This world thinks that the Lord interceding and the way we plead to get it is an outward thing. Pleading has nothing to do with a walk of any kind, whether it's up front, whether it's in front of people, whether it's to the pool of water, whatever it is, that has no bearing on pleading. It doesn't matter when you do it, how you do it, how loud you do it, how often you do it. Pleading is a conversation between a sinner who needs something and a holy God who can provide it. If our plead is with those two things, a heart in need to a Savior who can intercede, that is where the answer comes from the Lord. So keep going here with the woman. For she said in verse 28, if I may but touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? The Lord knew exactly what was going on here. But he still was calling out this woman in this experience. The Lord always does this. This woman was already made whole. But the Lord was going to make her face and admit her sin. This is what the Lord did to Adam in the garden after he ate of the fruit. He said, Adam, where art thou? He knew where Adam was. He knew he was hiding. But he made him come forth and admit what he did. Then he said to Cain, Cain, where is thy brother? He knew what he'd done with his brother, but he made him say it. The Lord is making this woman confront, admit to her sin. Look In verse 31, "And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?" I love it that no one in this crowd, the throngs, hundreds if not thousands of people around, no one with him, the one next to him, the one behind him, or the one in the back, no one else there except the woman and the Lord knew what was going on. Her pleading to him was between the two of them. Nothing else mattered. And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. He looked at her. He knew who had touched him. He didn't make her come forth without it. He looked straight at her. And in verse 33, "But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth." The Lord, in making this woman come and do this, this is not to embarrass her. This is not to make a point of her. And I used to think this woman came up and she explained her situation. "Well, I've been sick and I went to the doctors and all this." That's not what happened. When it says she told him all the truth, what she said to him was some form of, "I needed help. You're the only one I had left. I didn't feel like I could come to you, so I just wanted to touch you. That's all I had. And I'm whole. I had a blood problem. It's good. I'm done. That's all I need. Thank you so much." And that's all it was. She was just pleading to him, "Please don't take this away from me." She'd already been made whole. He had already interceded for her. And he said unto her in verse 34, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." All right, let's look at one more. Turn to Luke 23. In Romans 8, don't turn there, we read how it says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." Luke 23, look at verse 39. The Lord at this very moment is in the middle of that part of his interceding for us. The Lord has been made sin and is dying on the cross to bear our sins. And this is the conversation he has. "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. One of these men that was beside him and about to die as well had no knowledge of who he truly was, that he was the Lord. And he says, If you're him, save yourself and us." And what he's really saying in this is, If you, I don't really know if you can, but just save me. That's all he's worried about here. "And the other malefactor answered, rebuking him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, we belong here, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." What we know about this malefactor, this thief, is very little. What we read in these four verses is all we see of him. We see in verse 43 that the answer to his pleading, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into the kingdom," is, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." This man has just given us a couple things. We don't know if he knew something before. We don't know if he just learned something. But there are only a couple little facts that we know about him. The first is, he knows who he is. We're here for our due reward of our deeds. We deserve to be here. He knows who the Lord is. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he calls him Lord. So he knows who he is. He's a sinner. He knows the Lord didn't do anything. And then he says, remember me when thou comest into the kingdom. He knew who he was. He knew who the Lord was. And he asked the Lord. He pleaded to him. And that's all he did. The Lord says, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Thankfully, that's all we have to know. It's all we have to know is the Spirit has to reveal to a child of God that we can't save ourselves. And then he has to reveal to us there's one who can save us. And then he has to make us plead to the Lord Jesus Christ, please save me. Now, none of those three things are things that we can do on our own. That's why we have to have the interceding part. In Romans 8, 26 and 27, it says that the Spirit intercedeth for us. The Spirit has to show us who we are. It's not a coincidence that so many people don't know who they are. And it's not a coincidence that there are some that do know who they are. The Spirit quickens all of those that the Lord predestinated, He chose, He sanctified, He justified. Those are the people that the Spirit quickens. And without that, they don't know anything. So with this, we can say, if the Spirit would please make us to know that we have a need, if the Spirit would make us to please plead to the Lord Jesus Christ, thankfully, we know that those two things are the ending. The Lord has already interceded for all of the people who will ask those things. The Lord interceded in the beginning, choosing a people. He interceded right here on the cross, dying for His children, for every single one of them. In this very moment, the Lord was remembering this one sinner. When we think of remember, we try to remember what we can. I forget things that I thought about 5 minutes before I walk up here that I wanted to say. The Lord on the cross remembered this man. He remembered you. And he remembered me. On the cross, the Lord, at the exact same time, remembered every single one of his children because he was bearing every single one of their sins. Thankfully, he interceded when he chose us. He interceded on the cross, and he is still interceding for us now. So we can request of the Lord, please give us a need, make us plead, and thank you for interceding. All right.